There is no gold that God will use that will not enter fire. If God is interested in your life, you will feel like he hates you. It is people that God's antenna is upon that say things like, why is it that everybody's own comes easy? When is my turn is hard? It's because your own comes with training. Your own has to come with training because he doesn't want to give you something. He wants to make you an institution.
Welcome to El Rock TV. Keep watching.
Let's look at scriptures. Hebrews 5, verse 7. We're going to be reading, I have some texts, and then we'll share their preparation. Hebrews 5, verse 7. We're going to read in concert, my friends. We're going to read to 9. Let's read. 1, 2, go. Who is he talking about here? Jesus. Jesus, yes? Prayers and supplication. Yes, 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected, what happened? He became the author of... That's Jesus. If God did not spare himself when he became a man from suffering, you will not be spared. You will experience setback, and you can say, God forbid, feel free, but the truth is this: life is life. Bad things don't always happen to only bad people. There are situations that people have heard people, what people are going through are situations. The only advice you can give them is give God a sacrifice of praise. Because if you tell them to praise God, it has to be sacrifice of praise. Because we are both looking for what God did, we can't find. Do you know what it means to be born into a home where your father is abusing you? And God picked that father for you. You didn't choose him. Okay, start sermonizing. Be using Greek word. Talk to that person. Yeah, you know, pastors, we have sweet mouths. It won't work in that situation. You know, there's a hypocrite. The way this situation looks, we are looking for how to judge God. The only thing you can prescribe is a sacrifice of praise. You have experienced this thing. Make sure it doesn't spread beyond you. Be the Christ for your generation. Let it stop with you. Because when you investigate too, that father is also carrying trauma that he also experienced. He looks like he is the oppressor, but he's also a victim in another person's story. Look at Hebrews 12. Verse 5, let's read to verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 5. We read to verse 11. Are you here? Is somebody learning something? Okay, beautiful. Let's read, my friends. 1, 2, go. Yes, my son, do not despise of the Lord. Yes. 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 every son he receives. If you endure, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And we paid them respect to the Father of spirits and live. Verse 10. Yes. He says, but E for our profit. So he gives us a context now. He's helping us understand how God, you know, chastises. And from this scripture, I can deduce a meaning for the difference between chastisement and punishment, even though they are synonyms, but we're just trying to make it make sense. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is this, that when God chastises somebody, he's chastising them for their benefit. But on the other hand, our earthly fathers, some of them, when they punish us to gratify their anger. So one is done for you, one is to pacify how I feel about you. God will never chastise you because he's angry with you. Now, I hope you understand that statement. That's why I said what I first said. God will not give some, just put something on you to teach you a lesson. E.g., because we have to be making it clear. Sickness. Loss of job. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your car just knock. It's not God. God will correct with his word, and it will always be for the betterment of your soul. It's never to shame you. It's never to break you. And if it does break you, it's to mold you. And if you read verse 16, it gives you an example of somebody that God does not chastise. And I'll show you scriptures as well. Esau, he called him profane. The Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That hated means to esteem lesser. It doesn't mean hatred the way we know it. It means I've preferred Jacob. And that's talking about election of grace. That's another conversation entirely. But when you look at the components of the life of Esau and the life of Jacob, who had more affliction? Are you getting the point? Jacob went and lied to collect a blessing. Look at me, so you don't miss this point. What's your name? He said, my name is Esau. From the moment he claimed Esau, his life started spoiling. Because in the Bible, it is Esau that goes to the bush and doesn't find food. It is Esau that always serves people. From the moment he went and claimed Esau, he went and started serving his uncle Laban. That one cheated him twice. In other words, he didn't go scot-free. The consequence of cheating his brother, his uncle was cheating him. You might think Laban is bad. It's justice. At a particular time, God now reappeared to him and asked him, I want to give you a blessing. What's your name? If they burn you, lie again. This time he said, I'm not Esau. My name is Jacob. He said, correct. Now that you are Jacob, your name will change to Israel. So it was never about what the father gave. He didn't need that deception. The true blessing was going to come from heaven. It was also not about Esau or Jacob. It was about Israel that God wanted to establish. Check it out. God never spoke to Esau. That's how God didn't like him. He was blessed. Read Genesis 33. He was richer than Jacob. Yeah. because he was the one that inherited everything. Jacob ran from the house. So he was richer than Jacob. Did you see how Jacob was trembling to go and see him? He was afraid. He had soldiers. So how did God despise Esau? He never corrected him. He went and married women that he wasn't supposed to marry. God didn't talk. Please, sir, if you are not having situations in your life where God is constantly demanding consecration from you, if you can't cry, cry you can't. Hey, I don't want you to understand what I'm saying. If you collect something by gift, you cannot teach people how to appropriate that thing. Victor Arensi said something. I was ministering somewhere. I want to believe she was the one that made mention of this. Well, these days I don't even know if it's me or somebody, whatever, because I've been thinking too much. But the Holy Spirit shall inspire one person. The conversation is, how can Christians, oh my goodness. Now, our conversation is, there are two ways you receive from God. Understand this. I'm trying to help you make sense of what you are going through. There is something called the realm of God's glory. In the realm of God's glory, the minister and the minister to are ministered to. What that means is you are the one with the mic, but God is the one doing the operation. They will ascribe it to your ministry, but you know you didn't do anything. That's the realm of God's glory. Now, there is also the realm of faith, where, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You hear a prophetic word and you are appropriating that prophetic word. It's like spiritual ujuru. For example, that's the way I manifest the healing anointing. I will not just carry you and lay hands. I need the gift of faith. So when God says there's somebody, God shows me somebody, maybe I see a problem in the hand, but I have a feeling of the pain in the hand sharply. Then I say, okay, there's some, and then I'm obviously, God showed me and you confirmed it. So I have the gift of faith to lay hands and make the declaration. There's that one. Then definitely there's the anointing, you know, when you are operating in your office. But you see, a lot of people get breaks in the spirit realm in the glory. Yeah. I will explain. For example, if we start worshiping now, if you notice, there was a way he was playing, Joel, at the end. You noticed it. There was anointing on it. If you had left him and he started playing new things, people would start receiving songs. Now, he has an anointing, and that anointing can trigger the glory. So you are going to get that song, not because you are deep, because somebody brought it down. So far, so good. Are we still together?
Yes.
People fight over songs when they don't know how to bring it down. They only enjoy the glory when it is down. That kind of person got a song by mistake. You now went to go and sing it. They will kill you. But if you know the way to bring it down, they will take it yourself. I'll get another one.
Right.
Because you understand the technology to appropriate that glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? What God wants to give you is not a song. It's how to be downloading constantly. That's why your own looks hard. So it's not that God doesn't like you. God wants to teach you something that will now make you an institution. In other words, you will now be an authority to be receiving that thing. When somebody is going through that thing, you say, in 3 months, you won't be feeling like this. How do you know? Because you were taught. Are you getting what I'm saying? you might see what I'm trying to say is make sure you are not just sharing bread. Know how to multiply it. Many ministers want to share miracle, but they don't want to be Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying? That can appropriate the miracle. That's why it might look tough for you. How can God call somebody father of faith and the person does not have miracle of common child? And he's calling himself father of nations. What that means is that the kind of Christianity we practice that is result-oriented is not the mind of God. I can carry anointing for marriages and have a broken home. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I can have the anointing to teach how to run a beautiful marriage. Meanwhile, I'm struggling in my own family. Because Abraham is father of all nations and he doesn't have child. So what that means is that if you are looking at only results, you will miss it. Anointing is anointing. I can do a class and teach people how to get a job. And it's like an anointing upon my life. Everybody that passed through down my class will get a job. And me, I can't get. And if you don't learn what God is showing you, you will call yourself a failure. You will be missing the point that there are kings and there are kingmakers. So whoever God is interested in their life, there will be correction. Are you here? After Saul disobeyed God about the Amalekites, one of the signs that you know that God had departed, 1 Samuel 16, one of the signs that you know that God has departed, the Bible says, and you see this in 1 Samuel 15 verse 35. Look at it. 1 Samuel 15 verse 35. So once you are constantly, God is constantly, it's like he's picking on you. I can't do anything right. It's because he's interested. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. From the moment Saul disobeyed and God had picked a new king, he didn't hear from God again. So God's silence is God's disinterest. I'm trying to say anybody that God is not correcting is judged. Go and read Romans 1. All this grammar I'm saying, just read Romans 1. When God says, do you, he has judged you. The Bible says he left them to their reprobate mind. What that means is God said, I've tried to correct you. I've tried to. Now feel free. Do what you like. The only thing that can get a human being out of that place is the mercy of God. Are you here? Samson, he continually broke his vow, his consecration, and revealed his secret to Delilah. The Bible says, and the Lord departed from him. Judges 16, verse 20. After that time, God never spoke to him again. The only thing God now used his life to do was to teach people, don't play with consecration. Eli, when Eli failed to restrain his sons, God declared final judgment. He said, I have sworn the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. 1 Samuel 3 verse 14. Now, there is an attitude, because I want to talk about this. God is merciful. You know, when you hear something like this, you can feel like, oh, Samson is doomed. Oh, Eli. Actually, there is an attitude. People just have poor attitude towards, you know, the chastisement of God. There is an attitude. When God is exposing you, maybe you have a weakness and God is exposing that weakness, don't try to cover it up. You want to do image control. Do you understand?
Yes.
If God is merciful to you, the more you are trying to do image control, it will be getting worse. If you succeed to quench the fire of that problem and you maneuver your way, you are in a bad place. You went and stole money. You now want to go and lie and cover it up. I stole it. Let them fire you. And you start afresh. You have learned that thing. Pain is a teacher. Look at verse 17. When God told Eli, look, God told Samuel, God went, see, first of all, you are the priest, okay? And there is a small boy that they brought to come and be serving you. You understand? God left you and started talking to that boy. He did not even touch your heart that, but I'm the person in charge. He called the boy. He said, what did God tell you? If you lie to me, everything that God told you will happen to you. Because he knows that God cannot say something good because of what he is doing. First of all, your children are being behaving bad. Secondly, your duty as a priest. Don't let the light of the menorah go off. You left that one, the light went off. In other words, that menorah there is the fire of the Spirit. In New Testament, what he's saying is that he was a priest that didn't have altar. He didn't have prayer life. It was now a calling, a career. It's a job. You know, just cook. Now, the way we are going now, you see a lot of people, ChatGPT is their pastor. Because you just go. No desire, no hunger, no thirst, nothing. Just preach what. Look at it. And he said, now, this is what Eli replied to Samuel. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also. If you hide anything from all things, he said to you. That he said to you, look at verse 18. Then Samuel told him everything and denied nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Look at that poor attitude. God said, I have rejected you and your family. And you, all of you will die. He said, it's good. Yeah, it's okay. That one too is good. Is it not God? Let him do what he likes. David that did worse than him. When Nathan confronted David with his sin, the Bible said he left his throne and said, I have sinned against God. Attitude. Attitude. When God came and met Adam too, where are you? What have you done? Why not ask for mercy? You know that guy never asked for forgiveness. He just quickly went and said, the woman that blame attitude. God that came to ask you, what have you done? Didn't he know? Maybe he was checking for attitude. Because he knew you've made the mistake. Same thing with Cain. Where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? To God. And God was patient with him to show you that Cain and God had a good relationship. That's not the first. He wasn't freaked out that he was hearing from God. So it was, he was familiar with God. He was very familiar. He said, am I my brother's keeper? God said, you can lie. I get it. You know, there's no CCTV camera. But the problem is that your brother's blood is crying from the ground. What did you do with your brother? Not one place. Even when God gave him judgment, look at what he said. He didn't say, have mercy upon me. He said, this thing is too hard for me now. Why not reduce it small? God said, okay, this is what I will do. God is nice, too. And it's Mark Badan. What I said is that someone I would have just killed. And if you don't get it, it stunks. So. God said, I'll put a mark on you that nobody will touch you. There is something to learn from Cain. Cain knew that God is good. A lot of Christians don't know. Even Cain knows that. You see, but let me not go, let me not miss my points. Attitude. How do you respond to correction? Attitude. Let me show that thing. David's response. Now, you know the story. This is 2 Samuel 12. Prophet Nathan came to David and said, something is happening in your kingdom. There is a guy that has one lamb. Another guy has plenty. He now went and took that lamb that belonged to that one, the only one. And this lamb is like a family member. They hold the lamb, they eat together. Collected that lamb from that guy. Cheated him because he was richer. I'm just trying to rush the story. David said, what? In this kingdom, we don't take injustice. That guy must die. And he must restore what he took fourfold. Nathan said, correct, O king. That man is you. When I came into the palace, is it not Bathsheba that welcomed me? Is that your wife? You went and killed that guy. He told them to put Uriah in the front of the mountain of the battle. Not just that, he said, and withdraw the mighty men. In other words, he set him up to die. Imagine you are fighting with an army, and then when the battle got fierce, all of them withdrew and they left him to die. This time that Nathan came to meet David was not 2 weeks after, was 1 year after, because she had already given birth. After 1 whole year, he didn't repent. God said, he said, I've sinned. Let's look at what he said, because I want to show you attitude, and I will also show you the consequence, because that's where we are going. For fathers, we have to be careful. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Let's read together. One, two, go. So David said to Nathan, yes, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Because he responded well. However, that is judgment that is set fourfold. He lost four children. Okay, we are getting there. The baby died, 2 Samuel 12 verse 18. These are innocent lives. Amnon was killed by his brother Absalom. 2 Samuel 13, 20, 29. Absalom was killed by Joab. 2 Samuel 18, 14 to 15. Adonijah was executed by Saul. These are brothers killing each other. Fourfold, he lost four children. So when you see the dysfunction in the family of David, there is an undertone of negative prophetic. All those children were acting in accordance with the judgments. Do you know how serious what I just said is? That God judged Solomon, but the victim of the judgment of Solomon was Rehoboam. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you can mess up in this life, that your punishment is your children that will be reaping it. Do you get what we are saying here? You can be a victim because your father was stupid. And I need to show you that. Look at 1 Kings 11, 9 to 10. That's what, and remember I said, listen, fathers, let's be careful. Let us be very, very careful. Let us be mindful of what we are doing. If you can't give your children a godly heritage, just leave them. Don't bring problem on them. Look at it. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who appeared to him twice. That's another thing. Solomon had two encounters. You know, David did not have direct encounter. So pertaining to the prophetic, Solomon appears to be more of a man of God. He wrote more songs than David. He wrote more poems than David. Verse 10. Let's go. One, two, go. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Yes. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and statutes, yes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear down. So when they now came to Rehoboam after his father has died and said, will you bring down the yoke from us? And Rehoboam went and spoke to his friends. His friends were also prophetically orchestrated to give him wrong advice because of judgments. So don't think Rehoboam is stupid. He's a victim of negative prophecy. He will not listen to the correct advice because there is judgment hovering over his life. And he inherited that thing from his father. I want to end on a good note with hope and joy. But before that, one more. Adam. Now look at because, and I must say this because I worked hard. Amen. I worked hard for it, so you must hear it. Because I thought about it. Let me trace fatherhood in the Bible, people. I realized that, Jesus had to come and show us the Father, because there is no good father in the Bible. And that is showing you that the anointing is something. Being a father is another skill. Look at it. Adam, passive leadership. He was silent when he should have spoken. Genesis 3. Noah, righteous before the flood, reckless after it, drinking. Abraham, bettered conflict through impatience. No need for Ishmael. He was the one that went to go and create the dysfunction. Lot, passive leadership, protected guest, but lost his home to corruption. Lot was never at home. Look at Genesis 19. I saw it. I said, "Hey, this thing looks like a righteous thing, but this is a bad thing for the house." Genesis 19, verse 1. Because you think about it, why was it that Lot was quickly able to detach from Sodom and his wife wasn't? He didn't have anything there. The wife had built an ecosystem around there. Why didn't you take her with you? Poor leadership. Look at, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of the Sodom. He was not at home. So he didn't train the woman. He didn't teach the woman. Absent father, Lot. Isaac, loved by appetite, led by favoritism. Why should your children know that one is preferred? Even God Almighty told us that he loves us the same way he loves Jesus. Are you aware of that? I will show you that text. That God doesn't prefer Jesus to us. I will show you. Samuel, prophet whose sons corrupted justice. Saul, insecure father. Saul, no need to talk. David, mighty in battle, weak in parenting. Solomon, wise, but lost to pleasure and compromise. Manoah, desired a son. That's Samson's father. One of the major problems in Samson's life was that his father and his mother did not discipline him. And that is the same mistake. The mistake that the parents of Samson made on Samson is the same mistake a lot of church leaders make. Once we see gifted people, we think they're untouchable. And then when they now behave bad, instead of us to receive them and correct them, we push them out and say their gift is corrupted. Meanwhile, you didn't disciple them. This is the wickedness of the church. We forget that God is not looking at the giftings. He's looking at the soul of that person. That person can prophesy. You invite him, come and prophesy in our church. You've never asked him before. Are you reading the Bible? He's gifted. Then when he now starts to behave wrong, you say, his gift is corrupted. No, sir. You are a wicked person. You did not disciple him. We now kill him and kill the gift. Ezekiah, obvious. Produce Ishmael. Produce Manasseh. That's all. Now, Manasseh is evil, is another level. Manasseh finish. In our society, and I saw this and I said I was going to share it, stats that show the impact of the absence of a father. Look at this. This is really concerning. It's alarming, actually. 80% of rapists grew up in a fatherless home. 71% of high school dropouts, no father in their home. 85% of youth in the prison, absence of father. 90% of criminals, absence of father. 90% of those in gang, this is in the United States, absence of father. Kids from fatherless homes have 5 times higher suicide rates. 30 times more likely to run away. 14 times more likely to commit rape. 9 times more likely to drop out of school. 20 times more likely to end up in prison. 3 times more likely to be poor. And this is telling women that you have to know what you are looking for. This will affect that your marital choice will affect you more than you know. And make sure If you can walk with that man, don't break that family. Your children will pay for it. That's what you are reading. Don't break that family. Look for help. Try to make it work. Don't be quick to say, I'm done. The repercussion of I'm done. You know, sometimes we don't understand that if you avoid sufferings, you suffer long. Okay, let me say it like a preacher, the way you will like it. If you don't have long suffering, you suffer long. Does that make more sense? If you don't have long suffering, you will suffer for long. So when Jesus came, he said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What else? No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 1 verse 18, so it's not just the way to heaven, it's the way to the Father. It's a specific revelation to the Father. Because all through scriptures, there is a deficiency of fatherhood. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, giving us a revelation. And I'll show you how this connects. Look at John 14 verse 8. And I was reading this, I said, this is a cry of humanity. I'm rushing, I've passed my time, but it is what it is. Are you tired? Okay, you still have small minutes in you. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. Ah, that line blessed me. That's what the word is asking for. Show us fathers, and we'll be fine. It's easy to have children. It's very hard for children to have fathers. Now, you want to ask yourself, Jesus was convinced that the Father loves him. I need to show you that because I made a statement. John 17. See what Jesus said. Verse 23. John 17, verse 23. Did you get something this evening? Okay. Let's read. One, two, go. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you. You see what I was saying? He said, you have loved them as you have loved me. Now, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me. God fathered Jesus so well that they were intimate. He had an example. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. They had a relationship. And he was very sure that the Father loves him. Our children must be able to say, I have fellowship with my dad. I'm intimate. And he loves me. Now, the question to fathers is this. Are you intimate? Are you loving? Do you have fellowship? Are you with me? And your children, do they know that you love them? Now, it's not for you to say yes, because it wasn't the father that was talking. it was the Son. If they can't say yes, you are another question. It's not you that we answer. I'm talking to men this evening. We have to understand that the first ministry that God gave us is our family. God designed that will be our congregation. We can't miss it. Do everything you can to make sure that you don't miss it. Everything. Are you here?